The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Today, of course, saw the loss of one of Ireland's most prominent activists, journalist Nell McCafferty. Here she is talking a little bit about one of the moments from her life of activism that people will know most well, the famous contraception train in 1971, and what was going through her head at the time.
We prepared to this extent. We drew up statements to hand out to whoever might come forward to arrest us. You go up to the customs van, declare your contraceptives, refuse to hand them over, refuse to be searched. We knew we faced jail, and when we got across the border, we're beginning to panic a little bit. Will we hold our jobs? It's one thing being a radical journalist, another thing breaking the law and being arrested and carted off to jail. Some of them were slightly apprehensive. What will their husbands say? A lot of us worried about what our mothers would say. I felt that northern papers wouldn't report what's happening in the south, so my mother would never read about me. I'd forgotten there'd be northern television. And then I realised it's not that we're afraid of what our mothers will say. What we're afraid of is what will our fathers say to our mothers? How will they take it out on them? It's never your mother you're afraid of. It's how your father might punish her.
That was Nell McCafferty speaking about one aspect of being involved in that famous contraception train. Nell was described earlier today online as brilliant, fearless and passionate. She ignited the fire of rebellion in me and my generation of women. There was no one like Nell to stir us up to act against injustice and callousness. And it was Alva Smith, the campaigner, who described her thus. And Alva is with me now. Alva, you're welcome to the show. When did you and Nell first cross paths? When did you meet her?
Well, I think, first of all, let me say, it really is a sad day. I actually feel that I wasn't one of Nell's maybe close friends, but I was very fond of her. But also we have lost somebody really extraordinary and precious. So I can feel that weight of sadness. I first met Nell, I think it was probably at the very beginning of the 80s. And it was quite funny, really, when I was introduced to her. She immediately looked at me and she said, "Oh, young Alva." And I thought to myself, I'm only 2 years younger than her. But I had missed those early years in the 70s of the women's movement through illness, actually. So I hadn't been around. And when I did meet her then, she was well established as, if not the leading feminist. And I was quite overawed, actually. But she there was that kind of warmth and kindness about her. But also, she did make you know your place. And I loved that about Nell, that there was that kind of fierceness and determination about her, while it was always accompanied by a great sense of connection and warmth and empathy, the empathy she showed for so many of the people and the lives that she wrote about. So
it's funny. I mean, the way you describe her there, I've heard a lot of descriptions of her and people talking about her on the airwaves right throughout the day. And it shines with so much of what I've heard that, she had a kind of a wit that could be fairly acerbic at times as well.
Oh, that is for sure. I mean, you actually see that in her writing. You know, she could write, of course, and capture tragedy and write with great sympathy and empathy. But she was also very acerbic. And I think that she was she was many things now, but she was potentially an even greater satirist than I think she ever allowed herself to be, because she was really, and I think that's where the wit came from, that she kind of tempered it with a kind of lesser form of satire through that wit and the edgy kind of wit that she had, where there was a flake of irony there. Mm. Or you knew that if you behaved badly or stupidly, she did not suffer fools gladly, and no more should she have, by the way. But, you know, you could feel that there was an edge to her, that she would catch you.
Yeah.
And she would pull you up on something. And she could be very argumentative, let me tell you. So you didn't cross swords with Nell unless you were standing, you were very sure of the ground you were standing on. And even there, it could be snatched from under your feet by the wonderful sleight of hand or sleight of tongue of her wit or her pen. She was really quite a magnificent person. She was a very unusual person. Even just thinking about the breadth of her gifts, you know, she was a great broadcaster. She was a tremendous journalist, a columnist, a tremendous columnist. She was a brilliant reporter. I mean, one of her first books was In the Eyes of the Law, where she just sat in the district court day after day after day and told us what was going on there and revealed and exposed the lives of the poor people who are up in the courts and the nature of their lives and tore the judiciary to shreds. You know, she was fearless in that regard. She didn't care about, she would go out there and tell the truth as she saw it directly, but drawing us in with her skill and her talent. She's one of the only, if not the only, revolutionary feminist in this country, and I say that myself, who was able to absolutely reach out and bring her ideas, her thinking, her politics to, you know, a much, much, much wider audience than the vast majority of the rest of us could ever have dreamed of.
Yeah, you used the word revolutionary there. So, you know, this kind of trend that revolutionaries become reactionaries. That's the tragedy of them. And I don't know her, and I didn't know her, and I'm not going to pretend to, but I got the sense from afar that that wouldn't have been the case, that she always maintained that revolutionary zeal.
Totally now, Kieran, you know, the word reactionary has absolutely no place within about 150 million kilometres of Nell McCafferty. I mean, she had a revolutionary heart. She had a revolutionary spirit. She loved nothing better than, you know, to challenge the establishment and all those who upheld it. She loved nothing better than to go around pricking pins in the pomposity and the pretentiousness of patriarchy, for example, and not only of patriarchy. I mean, she tore quite a lot of things to pieces. She was a revolutionary. She loved the barricades, the lovely piece of her talking about the contraceptive train. You can actually hear that in that wonderful raspy voice that she had. That, sadly, was the cigarettes. But, you know, you could just hear that kind of energy and dynamism that she had, but also the very wry approach of thinking, we were kind of very near to panic, you know. And the interesting thing was that when she and her troop arrived in Amiens Street, the guards, of course, wouldn't touch them with the barge pole because they knew there'd be a riot if they did.
Yeah.
And Nell knew that. She knew that. I'm sure she knew that.
Well, stay with us, Alva, because Eamon McCann is on the line, the activist and journalist as well. Yeah. And Eamon, she's also a woman who wore her, how would we describe it, her dairiness on her sleeve. Is that fair?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Now, I was always acutely aware sort of the uniqueness. Now, it may be that us dairy people just think we're unique. We think it very strongly. And now, felt it very strongly. And although she was very sharp-edged sort of in political polemic and all the rest of it, I think she forgave anybody from Derry simply because they were from Derry. It was a free ticket to acceptance. So it's there's something about Derry, and Nell knew this as well. So Derry and women and the Bogside, where Nell and I both came from, that it was an area dominated by women. Sort of, women were oppressed, of course, but they also were the breadwinners, sort of, in an awful lot of families, working in the shirt factories in Derry. So there were thousands of women, literally, working in the shirt factories, and and carrying the city along. And Nell was very aware of that. And of course, she had relatives, as we all did. Sort of, he worked in the shirt factories, so that was very well aware both for working class roots and the way that particularly affected women.
I read something you wrote about Nell earlier today. You said that if you could gift only one book to an outsider intent on understanding Ireland in the 20th century, it would be Nell McCafferty's A Woman to Blame, the story of Joanne Hayes from Abbey Dorney in the County Kerry, the famous Kerry Babies case. Yeah. Why do you say that?
Well, I say it because, and this is largely forgotten, I think, that although Joanne Hayes is now recognised as a victim, sort of, and a scandalous victim, sort of scandalous people, sort of back at the time, I can remember journalists, male journalists, sneering at Joanne Hayes and sneering at the coverage of it and sneering at Nell McCafferty, by the way she presented sort of the story of Joanne Hayes. I mean, it's easy to look back on it now and say that Nell's saying, well, it was ahead of its time and so forth. It doesn't capture how difficult it was and how dogged Nell was. And following that, I mean, she was down sort of at the case in Tralee, I think it was, you know, well off her beaten track and covered that day after day and made a big difference, because we all recognise now, historians recognise just how crucial that case was in the sort of intellectual and political development of the Irish state. Nell sensed that immediately. Nell was on to those issues before anybody else. That was one of the unique things about her. And it required a great deal of courage on her part to take up sort of issues which were not featuring in the mainstream media at the time.
And it's a courage, I mean, that it strikes me, she displayed time and again. I mean, sometimes, you know what, it's just easier to go with the flow. Life is easier to go with the flow. And I don't think it's a view she ever subscribed to.
No, I think Nell would have felt very uncomfortable going with the flow. I mean, she always associated herself with the outlaws in society. It's one of the things I really liked about her the first time I met her. Well, I say I really liked about her, but, you know, Nell and I did not have a sort of even a friendly or loving relationship down through the years. We butted heads many a time. And if you butted heads with Nell McCafferty, you came away with a couple of bruises on you. You know, I've known Nell. I only realised this today when I thought back on it. When did I first meet Nell? And I feel myself that this is just ridiculous. I've known Nell McCafferty for 71 years. You know, so I sort of got to know her sort of over that time. And one thing that hasn't been much mentioned in the many, many deserved tributes that there's been to her today is that Nell was very kind. Now, that sounds like a very, you know, banal thing to say, but she had a reputation for spikiness, and she was that, and for taking no prisoners when it came to a political debate and so on. She was also terrific. When people sometimes say that so-and-so would have given you her last penny, Nell McCafferty would have given a beggar her last penny. She never had any money, really. She was kind and generous, and she had no airs or graces about her ever. She was one of the best-known journalists in Ireland, one of the most admired journalists, particularly, of course, by women. But she never had any highfalutin ideas about herself.
Well, Alva, I mean, to younger people listening... Yeah, go on.
Yes. No, I was just going to say, I think that's very, very true. I always found she was very kind to me, and not, you know, she didn't have to be, but she really was.
Yeah.
And secondly, there was no arrogance. There was absolutely no side whatsoever to Nell McCafferty. You know, she was fully herself. Sorry, and I know I cut across you there, but I'm just so struck by what Eamon was saying.
No, what I was going to ask is that, you know, there'll be younger people listening today, and obviously they don't remember the contraception train, or they might not even remember the kind of the aftermath of the legacy of it. And maybe today, actually, I saw a great picture shared by somebody, it was at a kind of a repeal demonstration a couple of years ago, and they had jumpers on. So Nell McCafferty assumed that they were organisers and started giving them an earful, giving out about the PA system, that she couldn't hear it properly. She still had that kind of fire in the belly.
Oh, my God.
So recently. But to younger people who didn't meet her at those marches, what's her legacy, Alva? How do you describe how Ireland is different because of Nell?
Well, she was really part of that very small, brave posse of women who set out to radically change Ireland around about 1970. And she was a leader in that group. And she had already, you know, it was an incredibly brave thing to do. She did venture where others were terrified to go, as in fact, of course, Eamon was saying. And I think that in itself is incredibly important. If you like, part of her legacy is that she taught us as women that you didn't you didn't have to ask, you shouldn't ask, you didn't even have demands that you went out there and you occupied the territory. You went out there and you were yourself, fully yourself as a full human being, equal to everybody else, whether male, female, whatever they are, we're all the same. And that was an incredibly important point. She gave us that sense that we needed of courage in ourselves to stand up, go out there and fight if necessary and occupy that terrain, which was and still is to a large extent, although after Nell, I sometimes wonder how the patriarchy is still standing, but sadly it is. But you know, to go out there and seize it. And I always loved and still do really value that. And I think it's very important for young women and for young men to understand that equality and freedom and justice, that we shouldn't demand, we shouldn't ask, we should simply go out there and insist that they are a fundamental, that they're fundamental human rights. And, you know, her scope was very broad. She spoke up for the gays, the lesbians, everybody. She spoke up for, you know, the book on the dirty protest in Armagh, the women. Nell had many hats and wore them all with a great deal of jauntiness and quite a swagger. I just have this sense that there can never be, there will never be another Nell. That's it. And I feel that we've lost someone who, I'm not sure that we always valued her in the way that she should have been, because beneath that swagger and that jauntiness, there was, as Eamon says, the kindness, and there was the warmth, and there was the empathy, and there was the profound seriousness that this world needs changing.
Well, you've both done her memory great justice, so we really, really appreciate all the time you've given us. Alva Smith and Eamon McCann, both of whom could describe themselves, well, I would say maybe at times friends of Nell McCafferty. I think that's the sense I get from the relationship she had, not just with yourselves, but with so many. So listen, thank you again.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.